Nuketown Radioactive number 49 for Tuesday, May 15th, 2007. On this week's edition of Nuketown Radioactive, I'll be talking about Nuketown's impending Monster Week, Geek Fitness, Gen Con registration, SimCity DS, the Geek Dad blog at Wired.com, and review the new Settlers of Catan game for an Xbox 360. Folks, welcome to Nuketown Radioactive number 49. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the occasional podcast dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And folks, I am all by myself this week. That's right. It's just me, myself, and I, and well, okay, the two cats in the house because Sue has gone to her parents' house and taken the two kids with her for the week. And we've even kenneled the dogs. We've even boarded the turtle and the frog at the Nature Nook, which is a pet shop in Easton where we got them from in the first place. And Rich, the proprietor, was nice enough to agree to watch our turtle for us. And you may ask, well, okay, why has everyone fled the house except for Ken? And basically, well, guys, it's the latest phase in home improvement. You knew I was going to come back to this topic yet again, right? Well, we're there. It is time to redo the floors on the first floor of the house. We have hardwood floors down there, and they've been showing the wear and tear of, 8 years that we've been living here. And, you know, when you have two big dogs like we do, we have a German Shepherd and a Labrador, plus, Sue and I, plus just, life, the floors are really going to take a beating. So we decided that we would get them redone this spring. We found a good guy who's doing it for us. And, so it's been, well, quite the adventure. I mean, we basically had to take all the contents of the living room and the library and put them into our dining room. So, that involves moving sofas, getting the TV disassembled, getting the entertainment center disassembled, moving just everything, stacking everything just right, getting the carpets out, the whole shebang. And then because we live in an older house, there had been people who had done carpeting downstairs before. And while the carpets had all been taken up, the nails and staples that they left behind were still there. So I had to spend, I think, like a night and a half just kind of sitting there on the floor, going around with a flashlight, trying to find all the staples and then pulling them out of the floor. So this week we have a contractor who is in and redoing the floors. And basically my job is kind of station keeping. I'm here to let the contractor in the morning, check to make sure everything's going well, feed the cats, and try and get some other stuff done during the week. I'm hoping to get some more painting done on the third floor, where the bathroom is an ongoing project. I've got all the water figured out, but now I need to repaint it. So I think I mentioned in the last podcast that I'd kind of spent a weekend patching holes, fixing the plaster, that kind of stuff. And then I spent last Saturday doing the first coat of primer and starting to figure out, okay, well, how exactly do you paint behind the toilet without moving it? And gee, what color is this room going to be anyway? So those are the kind of things that I've been working on and is probably going to be spending even more time working on this week. Now, aside from my miscellaneous home improvement projects, I got a couple other things going on. The one thing that I'm planning right now is a kind of Monster Week film festival, or at least film review festival for Nuketown. And the basic idea here is, and I was kicking this around last summer, but considering Luke was born in June, I didn't really have a great opportunity to work on it or a lot of time to work on it. But what I want to do is kind of borrow a page from the Discovery Channel and their Shark Week and have kind of like a week on Nuketown that's dedicated to monster movies, kind of the classic entertainment of summers before. Of summers of yesteryear? Yeah, summers of yesteryear is probably a better way to say it. So I've got a post up on Nuketown about this, and I want your feedback. I'm talking about the kind of movies I'm going to review. These are pretty much creature feature type things. I want to review things like Jaws, Tremors, The Thing. I'm trying to think of other things. Slither, Six-Legged Freaks, or no, Eight-Legged Freaks because they're spiders. Those kinds of movies that involve actual honest to God monsters, less the supernatural stuff, not so much zombies, not so much werewolves or vampires. I'm looking for your real, just kind of flesh and blood monsters that you get to run around and put a whole bunch of bullets into if you're one of the good guys. So check that out. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. Now, I do have an update on the geek fitness front. My geek fitness project is actually working out pretty well. I am now down to 196 pounds from a high of 224 pounds. And if you want to do the math, that's about 28 pounds that I've lost since I've started this. And frankly, I'm just amazed. I mean, I think, like I've mentioned before, I'm kind of lucky because I think what a lot of this is just kind of like my normal, I guess, metabolism reasserting itself once I've had the opportunity to, not be slamming back four Mountain Dews a day. Although today would be the exception because I drank quite a bit of caffeine when I got home from work in celebration of being able to do my own thing tonight. And I think a lot of it's just been making sure I get to the gym, making sure I get back to the gym after my various bouts with sickness, and just, trying to keep with a moderate but effective fitness regime. And so far, it's been pretty good. I think the other thing I'm probably gonna do this week is head out to the store and buy a new pair of jeans that will actually fit. So that should be interesting. I'll be very interested to see exactly what size jeans I'll be able to fit in. And even better, after all this, my cholesterol, which had been kind of high, well, really high, is now dropped nearly 50 points as a result of all this exercise. So that's even better, right? So I'm hoping that with a little bit of changes to my diet and even more exercise, I can bring it down even further and not have to mess around with medication or anything like that. Now, on a geeky front, geekier than monster movies, I have registered for Gen Con. And I gotta say, the Gen Con registration process, I hit it on the first day with pretty much all of my friends, and I got most of what I wanted, but man, what a process. I mean, it took me about an hour and a half to register for Gen Con, which I thought was just ridiculous. I thought it was awful. I couldn't believe how terrible it was. And then I went over to treasuretables.org and discovered that the registration process last year took hours, and they had so many problems that people were getting double and triple charged when they were submitting their purchases. So, I guess relative to last year, it's definitely done a lot better. Relative to the way I would expect this process to work, it's still not there yet. I mean, I'd really like to see, it doesn't it's always kind of a bummer when you don't get the games that you want to play. But that's just part and parcel of supply and demand. There are only so many slots for things like, Spirit of the Century and Call of Cthulhu. And while I think that Gen Con could probably do some things to recruit more DMs for popular games, I can't fault them for not necessarily having enough players, or I mean enough GMs. And I'm not gonna, well, I guess I should say I can fault them for not having enough GMs, but I can't fault them for having the things sell out. I mean, that's just gonna happen when people log into the system. But what's frustrating for me is just, I know that it's getting slammed, and I know there's a lot of people who are trying to get in, but I want the system to still at least be responsive and not to try and time out when I'm checking out with my events, and don't make me hit the submit button, 10, 20 times in order to finally complete the process, and actually have this process take an hour and a half. Don't have the process be done on a Monday. Have it done on a weekend instead. Maybe do some sort of randomized raffle type thing. Well, not a raffle because that implies that you're buying your slot, but do time ticketing and let people have a random choice as to whether, when they get to go in and register for events in an attempt to kind of bring the pressure off the system. I think I'd rather have the chance at getting in first and getting all the events I want than to just not be able to get in at all and not be able to complete the process. Now, having said all that, I did actually get a lot of what I wanted. I've got two sessions of D&D. I've got two sessions of Savage Worlds, which are going to actually take place in two different genres. I've got one session of Godlike, one session of Star Wars, and one of Spycraft 2.0, which is actually going to be a sci-fi space opera kind of game. So that's pretty cool. I have posted my complete schedule online to nuketown.com. The other cool thing that I'm very excited about for this year's Gen Con, and you've probably heard about it if you've been listening to any of the other gaming podcasts, is that there will be a gaming podcast party at Gen Con, which is actually being sponsored sponsored by the nice folks at Gen Con. And I think they've got a room reserved. They can hold about 300 people. And I think this is awesome. I'm really looking forward to getting together with other gaming podcasters and, you know, just the people who enjoy podcasts and who enjoy this hobby and, you know, talking about what works, what doesn't work, and just kind of hanging out. I think it's going to be very cool. So I don't have the event number handy, but if you go over to Nuketown and check out my schedule, you will see the event number. There's no fee for the event, but registration is encouraged.
Are your players unfocused? Do you have nothing planned? Don't know what to do?
Maybe we can help.
TheGameMasterShow.com.
I don't know if I've mentioned the Game Master Show on previous editions of Nuketown Radioactive, but it's a pretty cool podcast. It's a very interesting concept. It's basically kind of like almost a Game Master's Workshop type thing. And the idea is they have a couple of different segments or a couple of different styles of show. So first they'll have a show where they introduce a game they're going to play. Then they have a show where they record examples of actual play. And then they go back in and they review the game and they talk about what worked and what didn't work. And then they also have kind of general interest shows where they talk about different topics, like different styles of gaming, different approaches to running a game, that sort of. So I haven't listened to all of the different varieties of the show because I'll admit actual play doesn't really thrill me. But I do want to go back and listen to some of this stuff because I think in this context, I think it could really work because I like the idea of having a session, you know, hearing an actual GM, you know, doing their thing and running a game and then having this episode where they go back and talk about what worked and what didn't work. And you'll actually know what the session, you know, you'll actually know what happened in the session. So that's a very cool idea. But for the most part, I've just been cheating and listening to the kind of general interest kind of episodes. And I think, you know, it works that way too, which is one of the cool things about the show is, you know, if you don't like actual play, that's fine. You can just pick up the general interest stuff. If you want just to get the reviews, hey, that's fine too. You can just pick up the reviews. So definitely a cool podcast. I wholeheartedly recommend that you check it out. Now, I came across this today on the joystick.com blog, and I gotta say, I'm very excited. This just thrills me to the very center of my geeky core, and it is this. SimCity is being released for the DS, for the Nintendo DS. Now, I'm sure you've heard of SimCity in the past. It's basically, you know, the simulated city construction and destruction set. And this particular game is going to be based on the SimCity 3000 engine. And it looks pretty cool. Just from the screenshots, they've got basically two, you know, they're using the two screens that are on the DS. So the top screen will be kind of the 3D view of the city. And then the bottom screen will be the zone view where you're actually laying down roads and utilities and that sort of stuff. So that alone is pretty cool. They're also breaking up the game apparently with a couple of mini games. So the idea is you'll be playing along and then every 10 minutes or so you'll get a mini game that pops up and that you'll be able to complete. You'll be able to have scenarios. So, you know, there's a city that's devastated by an earthquake. You need to rebuild it. Other kinds of building tasks like that. And I mean, I gotta say, this is a really cool concept. I mean, I love my DS. I haven't been playing it as much lately just because I gotten kind of bored with the games. I mean, Animal Crossing is fun and all, but, you know, after you've played it for 6 months, it kind of starts to lose some of its charm. So I really love the idea that SimCity is coming to the DS. I think this I may now be more excited about this than the Zelda game that's coming to the DS, possibly because I think that the SimCity game will show up sooner. SimCity 3000 was probably one of my favorite editions of the game, and I just can't wait for it to come out on the DS. The next thing I want to talk about is the Dire Cafe, which is a social networking site for escapist geek. If you're a casual fan of movies, sci-fi, fantasy, horror, comics, or tabletop RPGs, then this is the right place for you. This is the latest project from Baron Kinsman of UncleBear.com, and I gotta say, I think it's working out really well. Uncle Bear has had a long history of different kinds of forums. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. I mean, it's been, and when I say they work or they don't work, it's more a question of like audience participation and people really posting something that they want to talk about. And, you know, they've had spikes of activity. It's pretty much like any forum. We've gone through a couple of different iterations of this. And now the Dire Cafe has kind of hit the sweet spot because it's very easy for people to post their own thoughts about this. They can tag their posts. You can have your own blog if you want it. I certainly don't need yet another blog. But I think it's just got the atmosphere there has been really cool, and I think we've had some very interesting and exciting and just fun conversations about gaming, geekdom, escapism, whatever. So I definitely would love to see more people check it out and, let us know what you think. You can find it at direcafe.ning, which is ning.com. And then the other interesting thing that came up on Uncle Bear was basically this: pirate solitaire. There's more than a few of us who have all of these little whiz kids pirate ships from Pirates of the Spanish Main and its myriad expansions. But for various reasons, we never get a chance to play with them. So we had recently gotten Baron to go out and buy some of the packs and actually try out the game, and he liked it. And he started talking about, well, I wonder if I could build a solo version of this. So he's kind of been kicking around some ideas for how you would do solo games using Pirates of the Spanish Main. And we've also, as the contributors to the site, or just the, I guess, the visitors to the site, we've been kicking around some of our own ideas. And I think we might have something cool come out of this. So I won't give the link right now during the show, but it will be in the show notes, and you can go see the post that kind of inspired all this. Unfortunately, I've been hideously busy lately, so I haven't had a chance to sit down and kind of think this through for my own. But I think that he is onto a really great idea, because Pirates is a great game. It's fun to build these little pirate ships, but the opportunities to play with other people are limited. So to actually have a solitaire version, and I'll give you a quick summary of how the solitaire version works. The basic idea is you've got these different islands that are scattered around a table, and you send your pirate ship or your American ship or French ship or whatever out to collect gold on these islands and then return to your home island, and the person with the most gold wins. So the idea was that in a solo version of this game, you would have basically a computer opponent, or a programmed opponent that would have its own objectives. So let's say what it does is maybe it's got two ships, and those two ships always run to the nearest island, pick up treasure, and run back to their own island. They will engage other ships if they come within X distance of that ship, but for the most part, they're just going for treasure, taking it, and going back to their islands. And then if you destroy the ships, they respawn in. I don't remember exactly how we were working on that. I think it was maybe, a couple of rounds, whatever. Then, just to add to the fun, you have a sea serpent of some sort that is out basically doing its own patrol. So it goes from point A to point B to point C and engages anything that comes within Y distance of the serpent. And conceptually, this isn't hard to figure out. I think we should be able to come up with something that will be fun and balanced and, really enjoyable to play. And I think the thing that appeals to me most about the idea of pirate solitaire is I think this is something I could easily play with Jordan, because we could set up our pirate ships, we could do this on the dining room table, she and I can be on the same team, and we can just kind of have those other ships doing their own thing. And I think it would be a fun way to kind of get her into the whole miniatures gaming thing in a way that we're both kind of on the same team and we're both, working with each other and trying to figure out the best way to win the game. So that will be an experiment for later in the summer. Now, finally, I want to mention a discovery that I just made, which is the Geek Dad blog at wired.com. The name says it all. Wired's launched a blog dedicated to geek dads. Recent topics include Carcassonne for kids, which, they've basically made the same discovery I did, which is Carcassonne in whatever variety you look at is an awesome board game for playing with kids, because it has these little puzzle pieces, and it has a board that's basically puzzles, and it's got these little wooden pieces that the kids like to maneuver, and it's a great game for parents to play. So you and your wife can kind of hang out with a bottle of wine and and play the game, and your 2-year-old me sitting there and trying to match up the pieces. And it's just a relaxing, fun night for everybody. It also has posts about Darth Vader as a geek dad and how to use iPods with little kids, like toddlers. So interesting stuff all around. I've only just started reading it, but I'll definitely add it to my RSS reader. The blog can be found at blog.wired.com/geekdad. Now, I'm about to do something I thought I would never do. which is review a board game for Xbox 360. I know, radical concept, but it's not only a board game for Xbox 360, but it's a damn good board game for Xbox 360. The name of the game is Catan, and it is the online Xbox 360 version of the classic, just famous German board game, Settlers of Catan. And it's been developed by Big Huge Games. It costs about 800 points, which I think translates to around $10. And it offers a single-player offline mode and up to 4 players online. And if you know Settlers of Catan, well, then you know this game, which is an exceedingly faithful recreation of the board game. If you don't know Settlers, and if you don't know Settlers, just go out and buy a copy now, because everything you've heard about the game is true. It's awesome. It's great to play with friends. It's great to play with non-gamers. It's just a great game. But to sum up for those who are unfamiliar with the Settlers of Catan, this basically involves 3 to 4 players competing to colonize an island. It features a randomly generated hex-based board with each hex representing a terrain type that generates a resource. The game begins with each player in control of 2 villages that are placed at the intersection of these hexes. Each hex is assigned a number from 2 to 12, excluding the number 7, which is used for something else. When that number is rolled on 2 six-sided dice, so you know you roll a 2 or you roll a 6 or whatever, that hex produces a resource for anyone who's built a village next to it. On a roll of a 7, the robber moves, who is a bandit who settles on a hex and prevents it from producing resources, and you get to move the robber and decide which hex it goes to, and when you do that, you don't get to collect any resources, obviously, because you rolled a 7, which doesn't produce anything, but you can then use the robber to steal a resource from somebody else. It also forces anyone who has more than 7 resource cards in their hand to discard half of their cards. Now, the goal of the game is to build additional villages and cities on the island, each of which is worth a certain number of victory points. The first person to 10 points wins the game. You can spend resources to build development cards as well, which create basically various random bonuses, such as allowing you to monopolize other people's resources. You can say, hey, give me all your sheep. You can build 2 roads instantly. You can deploy soldiers to chase off the robber, so forth and so on. You also get points for building the longest road, and roads basically connect different villages together, and then you have to build a road in order to You have to build 2 roads in order to build another connected village. You can get points for building the longest road and assembling the biggest army, or just buying victory point development cards. Basically, you buy the card, and if it says victory point on it, you get another point. Now, as far as the game goes, or this version of the game for the 360, it plays exactly like the board game, which is more than a little bit amazing. I mean, you're sitting there and you're looking at this computer representation of the board, and it looks like the board. I mean, I was playing it the other day, and my friends came in and they saw the board and they go, oh my God, that's Catan. I mean, this is the game we've been playing for 6 years. I can't believe that it looks exactly like a board game that we love. It features computer players that are based on different historical figures, and each of the players has their own objectives, such as building development cards or expanding their empire or whatever. There are 3 difficulty settings: easy, normal, and hard. And the hardest setting is very hard. When I use this setting, I only win maybe 1 out of every 3 games. The difficulty seems to be driven by a couple different things, and it's a question of how aggressively the AI plays, whether or not they're going to trade with you, and when they're going to stop trading with you. When you're playing on the hard setting, the AI just simply stops trading with you if you get like more than 5 victory points. If they think you're too far ahead, they're just not going to give you anything. Now, occasionally you can bribe them by giving them lots of resources, which if you think about it is probably pretty much the way that you would play with a human, but for the most part it's easier just to go to one of your ports, and basically ports in this game allow you to trade in X number of resources for Y number of some other resource. The visuals. They, like I said before, it looks just like the real game. The standard board is my favorite, but there's also a Living Island version that looks like the 3D version of the Settlers of Catan that was sold as a collector's edition a few years ago, which actually had mountains growing out of hexes and grain fields and sheep and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I can understand the appeal of kind of having this Living Island, but at the same time, I just don't think it works. It kind of clutters up the screen, and this may be a function of my TV. Maybe if I had a bigger TV, if I had an HD TV that had, you know, better resolution and more screen real estate, it would work better. But for me, it just felt cluttered, and it didn't really add anything to the game. I mean, it's kind of pretty, but when you roll, you know, wheat a little tractor doesn't come out and mow the field and throw up bales or something like that. There's no animations. There's no real depth or fun to the visuals. The most you get is the robber kind of dancing around the screen when you roll a 7. And really, that loses its charm very early on. Now, as a result of that, I just kind of default to the normal view. I find that to be the most comfortable and just the easiest to interact with. Now, when it comes to this game, you know, there's none of the interpersonal wrangling and negotiations and bidding that makes the real Catan so much fun. I mean, there's no jokes about having wood for sheep. There's no, you know, trying to finagle somebody into giving you a resource and winning because they weren't paying close enough attention to what cards you were holding. There's none of the, you know, bidding wars because you rolled and you got brick last round and everybody needs brick. So somebody's going to throw 3 wood at you, or they're going to throw, you know, 2 ore. And, you know, that kind of social dynamic just doesn't really exist in the computer version of the game. Now, in the single player version of the game. Now, there is an online mode. You can go out onto Xbox Live and play with other people. And to be honest, I haven't tried it yet. I don't know any other friends right now who are playing this game. And I'm just not, I just don't want to go out onto regular Xbox Live and play with other people. I guess I'm just being a little antisocial when it comes to Settlers. But I have a couple of friends who are in the Geezer Gamers who I believe got the game, and I just need to track them down and hopefully try it online. So I might do a little addendum to this review later on talking about the online play. I've got to say, though, that even though it kind of lacks this personal component, the trading's still fun, the game itself is still fun, and this is probably the most successful computer implementation of a board game I've ever seen. You know, Risk, Clue, whatever, those games just don't hold a candle to this version of the board game. I'm really looking forward to Big Huge Games' release of Carcassonne. I don't know exactly which version they're releasing of Carcassonne, but it should be out sometime in the near future. And if it's as good as Settlers of Catan, I'll buy it, you know, sight unseen, because this was just an awesome implementation of a board game. So if you've got a 360, if you love board games, go and buy it now.
Okay, here we go. .com. No? Oh, okay. .net. No? Aw, come on. How the heck am I going to get info to the listeners about my podcast, Geek Acres? Each week there's info on games, info on websites, and info on all kinds of geeky goodness. 15 minutes each and every week of geeky, info-packed goodness. Chicken scissors. Nah, that's probably taken too. TV info, movie info. Hey, wait a minute. www.geekacres.info. Yes, that's it. Fortuitous finds from the World Wide Web at www.geekacres.info. Wonder if also on iTunes.info is available.
So that'll about do it for this edition of Radioactive. Upcoming, I've got some pretty cool stuff. Next up, the immediate next episode is actually episode 50, which is kind of astounding when you think about it. I didn't necessarily start Nuketown Radioactive on a lark. I really wanted to do this, and I was kind of hoping to do it for the long run. But, you know, 50 is a really big number, and I don't know if I really thought I was going to make it this far when I started. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do for 50. I want to do something. I think I might do sort of a look back and talk about some of my favorite shows. I'd love to hear what your favorite shows were. So if you have any comments or feedback, send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com. Also upcoming, I've got about half of a Kids in Gaming podcast in the can. I have a lot of stuff recorded. I just need to put it all together. I plan on doing also, along with that particular podcast, a book review of the novel Learning the World, because the two themes really kind of go together. I have a game review of the Book of Nine Swords Martial Supplement for D&D, which is turning out to be a very cool supplement, but some of the stuff, it just seems like it's horribly broken if you integrate it into a normal D&D game, which might actually be cool from the DM standpoint, but I don't know if I'd want players using this, at least not in a regular D&D campaign. And then finally, I'm looking to include some music by George Harab based on what's available on music.podshow.com. I just need to sit down and figure out what's what and what I want to play. So that's what's coming up. You can contact me by sending me an email at the aforementioned nuketown@gmail.com. You can Skype me. My username is Nuketown. You can find me on MySpace at myspace.com/knuquist. And then finally, I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/nukehavoc.